Well, good morning, and a very warm welcome to you to St. Phil Road. If you are new or visiting with us here this morning, or either here or online, it's great to have you join with us as we worship the Lord Jesus together here this morning. Let me begin with a few announcements. First is, you'll see a couple of things on your sheets, and we'll come to one of those a bit later, but on your seats. But one of those is an envelope. You should have a Christian Aid envelope. It's Christian Aid week this week, from the 10th to the 16th, as Ian was reminding us last week. You can either give through the church, through the envelopes, or you can go to www.christianaid.ie and give there. As Ian was saying last week, you might consider contributing through a sponsored walk. Ian, you're doing a sponsored walk, is that right? You and Matthew going up Slieve Donald? Brilliant. So sponsor Ian and Matthew going up Slieve Donald, or if you want to do your own sponsored walk, that's great. There are sponsor sheets. Or think about what sort of money might you be spending. Now it's possible to go out for a coffee or lunch. You might like to do that, but you might also like to think, what money might I spend on that and not do that for once and give that towards Christian Aid? Lots of opportunities to give towards real need there. But thanks very much for your understanding and encouragement as I took a few days of study last week. I'm back around this week on the premise that you might need me. You probably don't. But I'm back around this week. Our prayer gathering is on Wednesday evening on Zoom this week at 7:30. But having said that, I'm actually not around next Sunday. I'm preaching at Fisherwick next week, one of our sister churches in the presbytery. Fisherwick are in a vacancy at the moment, but they're progressing towards interviews. So do be thinking of and praying for them as a congregation. Next week, Alistair McCracken will be leading and speaking here on wisdom and power and justice. And just looking ahead to 2 weeks' time, the 23rd of May, it's Pentecost Sunday, so we're going to do something a little different and change it up and have the children in with us, which we haven't been able to do as we do things at the moment. So we're going to go back to having, for that Sunday, 3 all-age, all-in services for everyone to come to. So if you're in districts 1 to 5, it's an early rise for 9:30 in the morning. If you're in districts 6 to 10, it's 11 o'clock. And if you're in districts 11 to 15, it's at 12:30. And if you're not sure which district you're in, just come to one of them. But 1 to 5 at 9:30, 6 to 10 at 11 o'clock, and 11 to 15 at 12:30. I'll confirm those times and put them on the screen next week too. Well, we're looking at the last chapter of Proverbs today as we go through our series in Proverbs. We're going to be looking more at Proverbs in the coming weeks, but we're coming to the last chapter. The penultimate chapter, however, chapter 30, begins with some words that are helpful in bringing us to worship. They're the inspired utterance of someone seeking wisdom for life. Perhaps you and I might echo them. Let me read them. I'm weary, God. I'm the most ignorant of men. I do not have human understanding. I haven't learned wisdom, nor have I attained to the knowledge of the Holy One. Who has gone up to heaven and come down? Whose hands have gathered up the wind? Who has wrapped up the waters in a cloak? Who's established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? What is the name of his son? Surely you know. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. We may come this morning with a certain weariness. We should come with a humility that recognizes that we don't know everything. We aren't wise. We're not God. But we do come to worship the one true God, the creator of all and our Father. We come to worship his Son, Jesus Christ, the wisdom of heaven who came in flesh to us, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, we come wanting to hear God's precious and powerful words to us, and know that he, even in our weariness, in our lack of wisdom, is our refuge, our strength, our protection. He speaks, and listening to his voice, new life the dead receive. We're going to sing two songs as we open. The first is going to be a new one to us, I imagine. It's called, O Lord, my Rock and My Redeemer. We're going to hear the first verse as the guys sing it to us. So stay seated and listen to the first verse, but then let's stand and they'll repeat, we'll go back to the start and we'll sing all three verses together. So stay seated for the first verse and then we'll stand and sing all three verses together or join in at home. I think it's quite an easy one to pick up, and Ali Joe tells it's very easy to pick up and learn and sing. And then we'll continue straight on to sing, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Let's praise God together.
Treasure of my longing soul.
and then we'll sing Over a Thousand Tongues. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Lord God, our rock and our redeemer, our gracious Master, we come to worship you. We come to renew our trust in you with all our hearts, not to lean on our own understanding. We come to acknowledge you in and for all of our living. We come for you again to make our paths straight. Lord, we delight to praise you, but we also confess we are prone to wander. As we come to invest our time in worship of you, we confess that too often we have invested our time and our money and ourselves badly. Lord, we've been content to enjoy all we have and spend on ourselves, too often without thinking of those who do not have. We've been content to feed our minds and hearts with rubbish rather than feed our souls with your wisdom. We've been too content to speak without listening and keep silent when we should have told the truth. We've been content to dwell on judging others, forgetting that you alone are judge and that we are not without guilt. Lord, forgive us. We thank you that our hope is set in the life and the death and the resurrection of you, Jesus, for us. We cannot redeem ourselves, but you have given yourself for our redemption, and you have poured out your Spirit in our lives to remake us in your likeness. So, Lord, as you have gloriously invested in us, may our lives be invested in following you. Open your word now to us by your Spirit, and shape us for your purposes and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Ali Templeton is going to come and read to us from Proverbs 31, 10 to 31.
This morning's reading is taken from Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31 from the Message. A good woman is hard to find and worth far more than diamonds. Her husband trusts her without reserve and never has reason to regret it. Never spiteful, she treats him generously all her life long. She shops around for the best yarns and cottons and enjoys knitting and sewing. She's like a trading ship that sails to faraway places and brings back exotic surprises. She's up before dawn preparing breakfast for her family and organizing her day. She looks over a field and buys it. Then, with money she's put aside, plants a garden. First thing in the morning, she dresses for work, rolls up her sleeves, eager to get started. She senses the worth of her work and is in no hurry to call it quits for the day. She's skilled in the crafts of home and hearth, diligent in homemaking. She's quick to assist anyone in need, reaches out to help the poor. She doesn't worry about her family when it snows. Their winter clothes are all mended and ready to wear. She makes her own clothing and dresses in colorful linens and silks. Her husband is greatly respected when he deliberates with the city fathers. She designs gowns and sells them, brings the sweaters she knits to the dress shops. Her clothes are well made and elegant, and she always faces tomorrow with a smile. When she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say, and she always says it kindly. She keeps an eye on everyone in her household and keeps them all busy and productive. Her children respect and bless her. Her husband joins in with words of praise. Many women have done wonderful things, but you've outclassed them all. Charm can mislead, and beauty soon fades. The woman to be admired and praised is the woman who lives in the fear of God. Give her everything she deserves. Festoon her life with praises. Amen.
Ali, thank you very much. It's rich to hear it from the Message translation, isn't it? Thank you. I'm probably going to be referring to lines from the NIV too, so if you've got a copy of your Bible, do look through that as we go. But maybe you're the same as me. When I get instructions for how to do something, I love to have a picture or an illustration of what it's supposed to look like. You know, here is what you're aiming for. Maybe you watch the Great British Bake Off. They have that round, don't they? Is it called the technical round, where they're supposed to follow instructions to make something? But often they have no idea what the final product should actually even look like. They have kind of no reference point or example. So you hear them kind of saying, just give me some idea what a Spanish or Vind torta, I'll look that up, or a fresh herb fougasse, no idea. It's supposed to look like pictures in recipe books are really helpful, aren't they, alongside the instructions. In teaching an instruction, it's really helpful. It's really good to provide actual examples. So you might say, here's what one of these maths questions actually looks like when it's answered correctly with all the working out spelled out. Or here's how a week is likely to shape up in your new job. I've told you all about what you've got to do. Here's what the week is going to look like in a timetable. Or here's what your flat pack IKEA wardrobe should roughly look like. Proverbs, as we've seen, is a book of instruction. The king passing on wisdom and discipline to live a prudent life, so that we may do what is right and just and fair. The opening verses of chapter 1. We've seen that wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, again, chapter 1, verse 7. It points us, we've seen, to Jesus and his spirit of wisdom at work in our lives. We've seen again from chapter 1 onwards, the Father instructing his Son, and we've understood that's us in Christ, about good choices and discipline. What it means to follow Lady Wisdom. We've seen last week, wisdom particularly as personified as a woman, developed in chapter 9. Well, chapter 10 onwards carries on with many words of wisdom and instruction, and we'll look at some of that across the various areas of life in the coming weeks. And I've encouraged us to be reading those chapters over the next 6 weeks, and we'll come back to that a little later. But wouldn't it be good if Proverbs, along with its lines and lines of instruction and teaching, gave us some kind of picture of what the wise life actually looked like, something to help us know kind of what we're aiming for? Of course, we see the life of Jesus, wisdom in the flesh, in the Gospels, but the Bible also gives us some other pictures that help us see what everyday Christ-like life looks like. And Proverbs, at the very end, here in chapter 31, provides us with one of those pictures. So I want us to understand the last chapter of Proverbs rightly and grasp Proverbs 31 as an example for all of us of the wise life. Now, it's sometimes understood simply to be a passage for women, even just married women, in how they should be. I'm sure it has much to be gained from that perspective, but that's not how it's really introduced in Proverbs. Chapter 31 actually begins by saying this is wisdom for King Lemuel, a name meaning belonging to or spoken to by God, and something perhaps just another name for Solomon. As Proverbs 1 began with wisdom from a king, from Solomon, so chapter 31 begins with wisdom for a king from who better but his mum. And some of the first verses of that chapter Alistair will touch on next week. But from verse 10, it's not crystal clear, but it may be that the continuation of the king's mother speaking from verse 10 onwards, it's certainly not addressed to just women. If anything, a king is hearing what his wife should be like. The wife or simply woman of noble character, the one fit to stand beside a king. So let me say, if you are a married man who's reading this title, The Wife of Noble Character, and you think that A, you're a noble character, and B, this is just for your wife, you're wrong on two accounts. If you're a married woman who thinks this is simply an intimidating checklist of what you should be, that's not right either. But if we were all to think, well, we know that Proverbs is instruction from the king to gain wisdom and discipline for living the right life. So wouldn't it be great to have an example of that kind of life marked by wisdom and discipline that's fit to stand beside a king? And we know that Proverbs teaches that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So wouldn't it be great to have a picture of a life that demonstrates that? And we know that Proverbs introduces wisdom to us in the person of a woman, Lady Wisdom. So wouldn't it be appropriate if that example of a wise life was a woman, Lady Wisdom, in action? And we know that Proverbs touches every area of life, as we'll go on and see, work, relationships, attitudes, concern for justice, speech. So wouldn't it be great to have a picture that comprehensively wrapped all that up? Well, if we think that, I'm pleased to say, here it is in Proverbs 31. Here is an example of wisdom for all of us. Just as all of us, male and female, hear what the father says to his son as an instruction to us all, so all of us, female and male, read of this woman and take from her the example of the life of true, Christ-following wisdom. Here at the center of the story of the Bible, the story of the true King, Jesus, who came to call and redeem and make worthy men and women to be his bride, those he loves and honors and who love and honor him. We see this picture of Christian living for the whole people of God, no matter our gender or status. But it's also an example of wisdom for all of life. Proverbs 31 is written as an acrostic. You know those poems where you write the word down the side and then you write every line beginning with that letter? Actually, all 22 lines of Proverbs 31, 10 to 31, begin with consecutive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So it's designed as an A to Z picture of life, of the life of wisdom, designed to show how comprehensively wisdom from the Lord affects the whole of life. Every aspect, all we are, all we do. So here you're going to see wisdom in the family, in the home, and in business, and community, and society. Wisdom in how she dresses, a daily routine, interaction with her employees and clients, her outlook, even when the weather's bad, how she spends her time, who she's concerned about. The funny thing is, we're told she's a woman who fears the Lord, but we're not explicitly told about any of her religious activities, her going to church or anything like that. What we are shown is that wisdom from the Lord is not just for the church stuff, but that wisdom and discipline following Jesus shapes the whole of life, A to Z. Now, I don't think it's a picture of life to feel intimidated by as we sort of compare and contrast. She's not meant to come across as scary or superior. People talk about her glowingly, as someone for us naturally to like and warm to, not to be jealous of. She clearly carries some authority, but her humility in all of that is what's attractive, isn't it? She's not the sort of person who speaks a lot about herself or puts pictures up on Facebook for us all to say, oh goodness, haven't you got life sorted? Aren't you great at life? And I don't match up. She simply gets on. But she is put here as a blueprint of life to aspire to for us as God's people, to take joy in, to see what she's about, to reflect on how we too might be shaped like her by the wisdom of Christ, so our lives will increasingly honor the King who loves us. Well, let me just for the rest of our time concentrate on one thing about her that I've been struck by and that resonates with maybe things on my heart and mind, and unpack that for a bit. You may be struck by other things too from that passage now or later or in life groups when you discuss it or you ponder and reread the passage. Do let what God particularly says to you through this picture, this example of wisdom for all of us and all of life, Do let that take root in your lives. But what I find striking through this passage is the picture of this wise woman as a good investor. She invests well. In a very straightforward business sense, she invests well. She invests in land. She uses earnings for further growth. She sees profit from her trading. She keeps her business lit. She seems to have her fingers in a number of pies. She diversifies her portfolio from crops to clothing that's internationally traded. Talks about linen and merchant shipping. How very Belfast. Anyway, the point is, she's a good investor. But not simply in her business acumen. That's just an example of how her wisdom plays out in her life because of the even more significant investments that she makes. First, she makes an investment in wisdom itself. She is significantly, in one of the last verses in Proverbs, we're told, a woman who fears the Lord. Which we know from one of the first verses is the beginning of knowledge. Her greatest investment is in her life given to honor God. As we've said before, that's not a one-off choice simply, but an ongoing investment. She speaks with wisdom that she's clearly received from elsewhere, somewhere. Her life is shaped in ways which indicate that she has continually invested in becoming wise. She's not chosen, we're told, to invest in things that are fleeting or deceptive. She's not invested first and foremost in being attractive on the outside, although you really get the impression that her genuinely attractive character shines through. She's not been charmed by choices that offer a quick fix, the promise of superficial happiness and the feel-good factor now, but then finding it doesn't last and only frustrated and finding you've wasted time. She's invested in the long-term goal of seeking wisdom from the Lord. And we see that's taking shape. It's taking shape in her depth of character, isn't it? Her humility, her strength, her dignity. It's taking shape in her attitudes and outlook. She can, what's the phrase in the message, smile at tomorrow, or in the NIV, laugh at the days to come. It's taking shape in her priorities across all of life. She knows who she is and what she is about from day to day. And it's taken shape in how people seem to warmly receive her and speak about her. It's no accident, is it, that attractive, godly characters, and I reckon we can all think of examples known to us, people who come to mind, no accident that they seek to invest in wisdom, seeking it from the Lord. She also invests in discipline and hard work. She gets up early to make the most of the day. She gets on with her responsibilities for those who are dependent on her. She diligently gets on with the routine work she has to do, grasping the spindle, it says in verse 19. She works with eager hands. She sets about her work vigorously, we're told. She's a strong woman because she's used to working hard. She's not afraid to mix it up also and get out there and sell. All the time, she's keeping a careful eye on her interests. She does not, says verse 27, eat the bread of idleness. Wisdom and discipline call us to work hard, to be diligent. Proverbs says a lot about work, and we'll come back to that theme, but how striking it is to see this wise woman's work ethic. She understands fearing the Lord and living wisely doesn't mean being lazy, but being prepared to be disciplined. Paul says in Ephesians, take care how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, by redeeming the time, making the most of the opportunities and the days we have. And yet, mark this, she's not lazy, but she's not crazy either. There's a line I stole from a friend of mine who told me the other day. We're called not to be lazy as this woman pictures, but neither are you called to be crazy with our time, which is especially important to remember the more we come out of lockdown and the more we're tempted to return to doing all that we were doing before without first thinking, was that a bit crazy? This woman works hard, but you don't get the impression she's overworking here, that she's overcommitted to too many things, that she's running about not knowing where she should be next, double booked, showering in the car. You know how it is. For example, she may make sacrifices working hard to provide for her children, but you don't get the impression she's sacrificing her children for the sake of simply working hard. They see her example of discipline and hard work and sacrifice, but she won't have any deathbed regrets of spending less time in the office and more at home. She works hard, she's not lazy, but she works wisely. She's not crazy. And maybe that's because she's invested in people above work. This wise woman sees a bigger picture to what she does. Her hard work makes money, a profit, yep. But she has bigger things in mind for that money than simply making it. She's investing in people. So she provides for people. She provides for her family, for now and in the future, come what may. And both for our home families and our church family, we may recognize the benefit of what we do, what we provide to enable those families to thrive. She provides for the wider community, her employees, her clients, the local economy, the benefit of those further afield where her merchants take her goods. She knows and appreciates how her work contributes to the welfare of society. And she provides for those in need, we're told in verse 20. With what she has made, she opens her arms and extends her hands. What rich, generous phrases. She's marked by generosity, investing so that others who really are not thriving may benefit. Again and again, we see her focus is not primarily on herself. Wisdom leads her to use her resources, her advantages, her privileges, her money, her time and strength for the benefit of others, for those who more closely depend on her, for those who can more widely benefit from her hard work, from those who need her help. There's something so heartening and generous about the focus of this woman, her investment of herself and what she has in others. A Christ-shaped self-giving. But her investment in other people is not simply providing for them. She is a disciple maker too. She's investing in passing on wisdom. She clearly does it with her words. Faithful instruction is on her tongue, we're told. And she does it in her example. People evidently see the kind of life she lives. Its dedication, its generosity, its integrity based on her fear of the Lord. Now this is obviously happening in her home. As her children, they hear from her, they see her, and they benefit from her. Not only do they get clothes to wear in the snow, they learn from her the benefit of planning ahead, of being prepared, of being able with wisdom from the Lord to laugh at the days ahead rather than fear. Both home and church families are disciple-making hubs. You know, in one sense, that is a fact, whether we like it or not, or whether we're intentional about making disciples or not. Children hear from us at home and at church. They see us in action. They receive things from us. And they figure out how to live from what they hear and what they see and what they receive. As one wise parent I heard put it, it's not actually that your children don't listen to what you say, although you may think that. It's that they hear everything you say, they see everything you do, and they are shaped by that. And that's quite sobering, isn't it? Well, home and church families are disciple-making enterprises, and we'll come back to that again in Proverbs, but see how this woman is intentionally investing in disciple-making, her words and how she spends her time with people and her actions. More widely, she's setting an example with employees, with neighbors and clients, all the people she interacts with, in what they see and hear and learn of the Lord from her. Her words and actions are a kingdom investment in other people. But perhaps I should also note that while her focus is on what she has earned, Let her works bring her praise at the city gate. A wisely invested life is valued by others, isn't it? From those close to her who benefit, to those wider in society at the city gate. Now, the wisely invested life may not be noticed publicly, may not be rewarded by the world, but it is of such value and benefit. So many people in so many ways, often, so often, quietly lived, but godly, hardworking, invested people who did so much for others are those we recognize did so much for us, aren't they? And a wisely invested life is valued by the Lord too. Like the wise investor in the parable who's met with the phrase, "Well done, good and faithful servant, come and share in the Lord's happiness," here we can see the same thing. If we take the woman to be a picture of the bride worthy of the king, consider for a moment her husband who delights in her. We might say that having invested his everything in us and seeing us investing in his wisdom, King Jesus, like that husband, delights in you and me. And as this husband is respected at the city gates, not least, it seems, because of his wife's reputation, so Christians with a reputation of being wise like this bring honor to Jesus, the King. As we invest in honoring him, he honors us. I mentioned last week how we might invest as disciples together in wisdom and discipline. Reading Proverbs 10 to 29, 6 days a week for 6 weeks. Let me encourage you to take one of these for your household, and there are spares, or download one from the announcements page on the website. And as we think over Sundays and in life groups about various areas of life in which wisdom plays out, let's all of us also be reading and shaped together by God's wisdom. And feel free to chat with one another about that. What was your favorite proverb? What struck you as you read them? As we seek to invest in wisdom, like this wise woman, may we too know the blessing and delight of Jesus in our lives. Andrew is going to come and pray for us.
Let us pray. Our Lord and Father, we come to you now with thankful hearts. You are good. You are faithful. You are holy. You are to be trusted. And you are among us right now. Thank you for the blessings poured out on us this week. Even in difficult times, we can still see your provision and blessing. In big ways and small, you are there. Let us pause and take a moment to reflect on your goodness to us this week. Name them in our hearts and thank you. Heaven declares the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of your hands. You have provided and continue to guide creation. Thank you for the beauty of our world. Thank you that it all points us directly to you, and that we can get a glimpse of you in all that you have made. We say sorry that we have abused it and have taken it for granted and lost sight that it is from you and in our care. And we think particularly of Christian Aid's focus on climate change this week and the effect it is having on your world and on your people, especially in poor areas of the world. May this week bring awareness, discussion, changes of our ways, and may it raise money to help those who need it most. Thank you for the work of Christian Aid and in other organizations like it who show your love in these ways. May we open our arms to the poor and extend our hands to the needy. We thank you for your precious word. It's perfect. It can refresh us and our faith. It is trustworthy, it is wise, it is precious. It brings joy and hope. We thank you so much for all those who help us understand your word in deeper and more meaningful ways. And we thank you especially for Ben. Bless him in this, and may he continue to grow in love and wonder in your word, and to allow us to benefit from this in his ministry to us. We thank you for the book of Proverbs and how wisdom can shape us. We all would really like to be wise, but we aren't prepared for the investment, discipline, and hard work it takes. We look to ourselves too often and the world around us, not to you or the people that you bring into our lives to help us. Lead us as individuals and as a church family to seek you first and your wisdom, and commit to that working that out in our lives for your glory. May we pursue wisdom in our lives. May we be people who work hard, who are considerate, strong, welcoming, generous, faithful, and may we always fear the Lord. We ask for you to be at work in India, particularly at this time, Lord. May you lift that country up, provide all that they need physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Comfort those who suffer and those who mourn. Our connection with Heather and who she knows and cares for, and others who we know ourselves, bring this very close. Provide strong leadership in that country. Provide good care for all who need it, equipment and people. Fairness, equality, and we pray for your Holy Spirit to move powerfully. We pray for our own country and its leaders. The elections this week and the recent leadership changes mean change for us, and it feels uncertain and unclear what will this mean. But we trust it all into your hands and continue to pray for our leaders. We pray for vision for the future, selflessness, wisdom, stability, and peace. And we pray for those who are in need, who are known to us, and we pray for ourselves. We pray for those who are sick at home or in hospital, those who are sad or worried or afraid, those who are lonely or have no hope. May we be people who weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice, and in all things point our own hearts and minds and to those around us to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we commit these requests to you and trust that you will answer in your perfect will. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Andrea, thank you for leading us. We're going to close with a final song, a song about investing in knowing Jesus, all I once held dear. Let's stand and sing together. Don't forget, for those of you who are here, if you're towards the front, to head out this door, and towards the back, to head out the back left. But let me end with these words. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn